From the Lend Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 8th day of July 2022, a Friday afternoon. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Mike Zuzla, GlobalComResearch.com out of Atchison, Kansas. And Eric Snodgrass will be here to put the data behind those rains that made their way across the eastern part of the Corn Belt, a lot of the Corn Belt, in fact, and then discuss what we have coming up for the next several days and the next 2 weeks, and even we'll take a look further out. Oh, we'll also talk about the dry conditions, some of them in parts of Europe, and what the rest of that continent looks like as well, all on this Friday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
September corn in Chicago at $6.33 and a quarter, up 24 and a quarter cents today. December at $6.23 and a half, up 27 and a quarter. And the March at $6.28 and three quarters, 26 and three quarters of a cent higher. August soybeans, $15.13 and a quarter, up 28. November at $13.96 and a half, 31 cents higher. The bean meal up $7.80 at $431.30. And the bean oil at $62.59, 97 cents higher. Wheat futures for the soft bread, 891 and a half up 55. The hard red 945 and three quarters up 56 and a half. In the spring, also up 56 and three quarters at $9.91 and a quarter. Live cattle futures in Chicago at 133.95, down 60 cents. The feeders at 171.72 and a half, down 75. And lean hogs at $109.17 and a half cents per 100 pounds, down 32 and a half cents. Mike Zuzla, GlobalComResearch.com out of Atchison, Kansas, now joins us to discuss a really good end to the week. Seems odd to me, but boy, we got rainfall last night. Things are looking pretty nice here, and another day that the market went up. Yesterday, I think Matt Bennett said it's rare that you get this kind of event. Apparently, we got two in a row. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, the whole week has been contrary to the supply-demand fundamentals. And really, ever since we had the Juneteenth three-day weekend, I think that's where the real split came, in my opinion, Todd, from a standpoint of weather making a difference and making a splash in the trade. Drought monitors, crop conditions reports just seemed like they just weren't doing that much for the trade. I think Friday was kind of a capstone day because we had negative weekly export sales, and not just beans, but also corn, and pretty substantial reductions, if not cancellations, unknown destinations in China, probably mostly China all the way around the board. You also had, I think, really important to this, and we talked about this on the Commodity Week program this week, was the wheat was the leader to the upside, and more specifically, the spring wheat was the leader to the upside. So not only did you have rain in the central and eastern Corn Belt, but you also had the spring wheat, which is doing very well crop conditions-wise, leading this market higher. And I really think it's mostly macro fundamentals like we've been trading the last 2 weeks, and also I think we're starting to get a feel for the European market again. And the drought in Europe in terms of their corn drought and their wheat harvest is showing drought in terms of harvested bushels. And I think maybe they're starting to get a little bit more nervous, and they should be.
Yeah, so early in the year, as the Ukraine war started with Russia, there was a lot of talk about the need for Europe to step up and to pick up the acres to supply what would not be coming out of the Black Sea area. That clearly is in jeopardy. And as you said, wheat in the United States and at the Board of Trade has been moving higher now. However, I must admit, there's a big loss over 6 weeks. How long will it take to recover some of that, if it can?
I'm glad you asked that, because two answers to that. Number one, we regained our weekly closes from last week. So on July 1st, say, for instance, September corn closed at 619 and three quarters, we're going to be above that. September soft red wheat closed at 846. We're going to be almost 50 cents above that. So we're making strong headway as of this week's close by getting back above last week's closes. The second thing we've got to draw our attention to, and again, we hit on this on Commodity Week, it's really important to notice that the December corn high and the low from mid-June to this recent low this week, December lost almost 24.5% of its value. July, however, only lost about 9%, 9.5% of its value, and coming back to about the 775 level on Friday's close puts you within 25 cents of that $8 high back on the 17th for the lead month futures for July, June 17th. Lead month futures. And so it really depends on what you're looking at. It really says to me that we do have tight supplies out there. I hope the spread holds together now that the rains have come through, and especially after the WASD report comes out. If it can, I think we could continue to develop this short covering mindset. The big thing for new longs, in my opinion, to come in, especially new macro related longs, would be to get a dollar sell signal after the Federal Reserve says their piece next week. And then that would then spur a copper buy signal, because copper and the dollar, for that matter, were excellent leading indicators in this last break.
And we'd also need to have those exports continue. You were worried about that when we started our conversation.
Yeah, and this is where the WASD numbers come in. We're all talking a lot about yield, and rightfully so, in terms of the damage potentially already done in the central and eastern Corn Belt and big states like Nebraska. But we also got to look at the demand side, especially the export demand. And that's what the weekly export sales, the potential cancellations we saw in China this week, and some of the other data that we've noticed here in the last couple, 3 weeks. We are really trimming that export demand, especially more than the trade, I think, expected in the soybeans, but all three major commodities. So ending stocks numbers here will be much more important to me than any other number at this point.
Volatility within the grains and oilseed complex is what we've been following mostly. What's been happening with the livestock sector?
Well, it's been more tame, and that's because the demand's been better. You know, the weekly export sales show that again today. While China did cancel a small amount of the beef that they had purchased, and they weren't part of the buyers in this week's update, we still had them as the number two buyer for pork, and the export sales were very strong. I think they were in the 20% level, better than the four-week average. So that's a major difference that we want to keep an eye on, is that the beef and pork have stayed very strong on the demand, and that's kept the funds more on board with them, which has also given us less volatility.
I'm getting final word as I let you go on the macroeconomic side.
Well, the big thing is the Fed and the market reaction next week. That's what let us down, and that's probably what's going to create another wave down if we're going to get one at this point, Todd, because I think supply-demand fundamentals after this price break would suggest we don't need to go any lower, especially if we do start attracting some demand at these levels.
Thank you so much, and thank you for doing Commodity Week yesterday.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me, Todd.
You're so welcome. That's Mike Zuzulo. He's with GlobalCommResearch.com out of Atchison, Kansas. You can hear him on our Commodity Week program online right now at willag.org. Many Fridays during the growing season, I joined the commercial ag team for a roundtable to discuss what the crop looks like in the state. Emerson Nafziger, extension agronomist, was there at the noon hour today. Here's his update on the rainfall and the corn and soybean crops. It starts actually with a conversation, an email discussion he had earlier today with a Western Illinois corn farmer talking about brace roots.
I don't attach a lot of importance to whether there's lots of brace roots or not very many, but we probably don't want a lot and we don't want none just because they signal how well the plant has been able to meet its needs for growth. And this year, of course, in this drought area that we hopefully have taken off at least from the severe drought category where it was 2 days ago, that we've taken it off of that now with the rains we've gotten. We got enough rain to make this crop happy, probably to get it to push tassels and silk. It's going to look really a lot better now, except those areas that might have missed it. That was a pretty sizable system, but went more south of here this morning. And so some people probably got too much. But this soil that out here right now, you know, if it came slowly, it could take 3 inches without even blinking. And so that's a good thing. So we'll see soybeans come roaring back at this point, too. They look generally really good. In terms of a canopy without really any problems, except it's small and plants are fairly short. this is going to fix that in short order. And if our pattern stays, back to more of a normal rainfall pattern without serious interruptions, I think I've said this to you before, we have some yield loss in the corn fields that have been under stress the longest. We will have no idea what that amounts to until we can count kernels. I think it's a stretch to think that these are, have been out there and they're still not as far along as their growing degree days say they should be. They probably lost some yield potential. And we're going to see that as just smaller kernel counts. And we won't know what kernel counts really are, of course, until a week or 10 days after pollination ends. And so we'll be able to make counts then. There's no question that the crop in a lot of the state looks really good, and my guess is it's going to have no problems at all.
That's Emerson Nafziger from earlier today over the noon hour, his assessment of what the crop in the state of Illinois looks like today. On this Friday, let's check the weather forecast, as we always do, with Eric Snodgrass from Nutrient Ag Solutions and Agrible. Hi, Eric. Thanks for being with us today.
Yeah, thanks for having me on again.
Tell me about the rainfall that we've had. It is really welcomed, especially in the eastern Corn Belt. How widespread was it?
Well, it hit some key areas that had been missed as of late. There was actually a bit of a hole in the recent precipitation map, which was all of central Illinois, and then this latest system that just came through, we actually had a couple of good rounds out of it, hit southern Iowa, then northern Missouri, and came right across the state, and it's going into Indiana. So this is really good. And to be honest, I was worried that it wasn't going to happen. If you would have asked me a couple days ago, it looked like it was going to be further to the north. So we got some much, much needed rain. But as you know, looking at our soil moisture, a couple more of these to just ensure that we've got enough moisture to make this crop and to make it big. So, yeah, it was great. Ran over a ridge, came our way. It's finally pushing that heat farther to the south. I mean, all the heat warnings are now south of us, thankfully. But it's certainly one that we needed.
So at this point, I and producers are saying, oh, thank you, we've got a rainfall, that means we'll get more. But you'll have to tell me whether that's true or not.
Yeah, well, the pattern we're going into is quite interesting. And what I mean by that is that the ridge that's been over the Mid-South, that the ridge riders have gone around, is going to move over to the Four Corner states. Now, normally when someone like me, a meteorologist, says we're going to get some northwest flow out of the jet stream, that's usually a good sign. But at this point, the flow is not just northwest, but more northerly. So if you go up 6 miles above our heads, our winds are going to be coming out of the north, and that's actually going to bring in some drier air. But the only good news is we get rid of the extreme heat. But a little bit drier conditions means whatever moisture we just got has to last us a little bit longer. So we got to keep this around for a while because, as we look out there a bit farther, all the risk is still on the table for redeveloping drought at some point this summer. And some of the new long-range models are really hinting at that.
Tell me about it, please.
Yeah. So the La Nina is still there. The trade winds are strong. The ocean temperatures are still cool. This is still the dominant hold on this pattern, which means Midwest, Central United drought risk, not just in July, August and September. And also, by the way, that increases the risk of a hurricane season being more active. Well, we'll come back to that in a second, because when we look at the brand new long range updates, which we just got this week, we've now seen that the forecast models have just hung on tight to drier than normal conditions for much of the Corn Belt going forward. The place they have wet is down in the southeast and up the east coast. Texas, I think, is going to take it hardest. They've got the driest air right now. They've been hottest. They may be on pace to having their hottest spring and summer on record. And as we just look out there, that heat south means that the ridge rebuilds in the Midwest. And if it builds there, that could get us back into a spell where we're begging for more rain and thinking about when it's going to get here. So it's things are not over yet in terms of risk, but we bought a lot of time with the rains we just got.
In Europe, how are the nations Italy, France, Germany, and then into Poland, Ukraine, those places doing?
Yeah, well, it's been a bit of a roller coaster ride. And we talked about heat waves hitting there at the end of June and the beginning of July. And then pattern kind of broke down, some bigger storms in parts of France and Germany. But now we're starting to see the heat come back again and the drier conditions come back again. And all the new long-range forecast models don't actually have any part of, you can go from Portugal and Spain all the way to Ukraine, and there's no forecast model right now that's predicting them to be wetter than average, especially the European model, which is their model, saying that there's going to be some dry conditions for the rest of this summer across that big area and grow a lot of crops there.
Hey, thank you. I appreciate it. We'll talk with you again next week.
All right, sounds good.
Eric Snodgrass is with Nutrien Ag Solutions and Agrible and helps us to wrap up this Friday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world. Find us online. Listen to us on demand anytime you'd like at willag.org, willag.org. There you'll find our daily agricultural programming to listen to anytime you'd like. Again, the address, willag.org, or you can search the Closing Market Report out in your favorite podcast application. Just use the podcast page if you want at willag.org and hit the subscribe link within the players there on that podcast page, or look inside of Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Amazon Music, Spotify, Audible, many, many more. It's all about ease of use, your ease of use. So check out the Closing Market Report whenever you'd like.